This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Post-match chat with chaps for that Millwall podcast. We're at finish at the Den. Millwall 1, West Bromwich Albion 1. And a game that I think before it, a lot of fans probably would have taken a point. But to be honest with you, I'm disappointed we only took a point. And I think we probably deserved all three, albeit for some poor finishing and possibly some poor refereeing decisions. So, look, it was nice to be back yesterday down the Den. I actually only got there 20 minutes into the game, so I've been away for work, and I landed at Heathrow at 11, and I was like, right, I'm going to make it. Didn't get out of there till almost 12, and ended up parking. And as I was walking to the ground, I heard a massive cheer, and you hope it was I've missed a goal for us. And then I obviously heard over the tannoy that Duncan Watmore had scored. I was literally walking into the ground just as we scored. So before that, I've not seen it. But what we'll do is, as normal, we'll start with the team and then we'll go into it just as we normally do. So before I get into the team, the thing for me that I was a little bit concerned about was we're playing a team that are very, very much in form, one of the in-form sides in the division. Not to say that we aren't, but this is a side that are kind of solidified fifth, really, in the Championship for some time now. And fair play to them, to be honest. You know, I wouldn't have had them there if you'd have asked me at the start of the season, given some of their off-of-the-field problems. They haven't invested that much this season. They did the season before with the likes of Jed, John Swift, etc. But, they've had a very good season. They're banging form. They've won they've lost one of the last 10. So they're a good side. And I think in the lad on the wing, Mikey Johnston, I think his name is. I'm still half asleep, guys. I'm not going to lie. But the lad on loan from Celtic, he is a very, very good player. And I've seen him on telly in recent weeks, and he's torn most teams, if not all teams, he's played to shreds, but not us. And we'll get on to the reason why later. But, you know, so it was a case of we're playing a good side. And could we go again? I think the thing is that Neil Harris had come in. He's clearly created a buzz. He's got the new manager bounce, the momentum. But we then, it's a different test to go, you know, what was it, 10 days without a game, and then to come back into action and see if we can still continue that momentum. So that was interesting, obviously, after the loss away at Leeds, which, again, wasn't the worst performance in the world. So in terms of the side, he made one change to the starting 11, which was Brooknell and Cuffy coming out, Duncan Watmore coming in. So I guess a slightly more attacking front three than having Brooke, who was obviously there to try and stop Firpo against Leeds. And that was the 11. I think on the bench, it's not a bad bench, but what's just clear and obvious is there's no attacking threat on there whatsoever. You know, obviously still with Maku not available, Bradshaw not available, and Nisbet not available. To have SA pretty much as our only attacking player, obviously Longman's there as well, but I don't really see him as a proper attacker. So that's where we are. And that's why, you know, this group, Harris is getting so much out of this group because it is limited anyway in terms of ability. But on top of that, he's limited with forward options. And we'll certainly talk about Obafemi a little bit later. So the game kicks off. From what I've read, what I've heard, West Brom started in the ascendancy. But then we started to really grow into it, and we got our goal. And obviously, I've seen the goal back. We win the ball back. It's a really good ball forward by Ryan Leonard. And then it's just poor defending from a defence that's been very solid. You know, Cedric Kiprey and Carl Bartley, two very experienced players at this level. It's a bit of confusion. Kiprey goes for it, but he diverts it away from Bartley. Watmore's got the pace. Does he have the composure? He does. Slides it past Palmer into the back of the net. It's a good finish. You've got to have a lot of composure in those situations. And I'm sure he scored something similar against Blackburn last season, Duncan Watmore. It was a really well-taken goal, and we're off to a great start. And, you know, it's a case of how can we then build on that? And I honestly felt from the moment I walked in the ground, which was around sort of 23-minute mark, up until half-time, they were rattled. That's the only way I could describe it. They were conceding corners by passing it out themselves. The amount of times loose balls would go out for a throw-in, you could see Yakuslu having a whinge in there. And, you know, when they weren't getting fouls, they were whinging. I felt that the first half, they didn't create anything. There was one half chance where Jed, funnily enough, sort of mishit his shot towards goal, but I think Cooper would have blocked it anyway. And they really offered nothing. Unfortunately for us, we had a couple of very good moments, one in particular from Obafemi, that we should go in at halftime 2-0 up. We should do. It's a very similar ball over the top by Ryan Leonard again. It's perfectly weighted in between the two centre-backs. Obafemi clearly can do Kiprey and Bartley for pace. Ball's over the top. It's right in that sweet spot between the goalkeeper and the defender. No one really knows what to do. I'm sure the wind played a factor. And if only Obafemi had the same composure that Duncan Watmore did, he doesn't. And if I'm honest, he does probably the only thing he could do to not at least have a decent chance of scoring, which was basically just to pass it into the goalkeeper's midriff. If he puts it low, either side, or he tries to dink him, which I think he probably was trying to do, but his execution was poor. And it's such a shame. You could see it. You could see Obafemi was really dejected. But make no mistake about it, they were rattled in the first half. And I'll go on to talk about Harris's style evolving. Yes, there is still a lot of long ball. But when you play long balls like Ryan Leonard did yesterday, no defender, unless you are a top, top, top defender, which Bartley and Kiprey, good defenders at this level, but they're not top, top, top defenders, likes to play going back to having to turn around, run the other way when you've got someone as quick as Obafemi on your back. And that is the difference having someone like Obafemi makes in this team. Because a lot of people I saw on Twitter and various other videos were absolutely slating Obafemi's finishing. And yes, he should have scored the goal. But there's not many strikers that we could get at this club. And by the way, Obafemi won't be here next season, no matter what. Would be able to put that level of pressure mentally on some of these players. Because they know Obafemi's going to give them a game. He's willing to do the running. And he's physical. He's just as physical as them. So, you know, that was a really good chance. There was another half chance from Honeyman on 35. Some good link-up play with Obafemi and Watmore. I thought linked up really well, in fairness. I think it was good defending from Townsend in the end, from their perspective. And that was the first half. You know, we dominated. From the moments I saw, like I said, I think from what I read, West Brom had a good 5 minutes, but then we sort of dominated the rest of that first half. Yeah, without having the ball, that was the story of the game. You know, I think they ended up on around 68-70% possession, something like that. But there was only one side that created, in my opinion, I believe we had three clear-cut opportunities. And I've talked about two, obviously the goal, and then Obafemi's on 30. The second half starts, and I felt that they came out certainly a little bit more at it. I did think at halftime there's no way they were going to be as poor as they were in the first half. I think they made one change, taking Andy Vyman off and bringing on, I believe it was Tom Fellows. And they made a lot of changes, by the way, even when later on in the game, Kiprey went down with a shoulder injury, I think. But, you know, to have the likes, you know, just to have the likes of John Swift sitting on the bench, you know, to have the likes of Matt Phillips sitting on the bench. We've already mentioned Fellows. you know, Thomas Asante. He causes a lot of problems. He's very similar to Obafemi in the sense that he's very quick and powerful. He causes problems. The difference is we weren't playing a high line and they were. And this is how you need to defend against these types. But that's to do with our shape. And our shape, we kept very well because they had a lot of the ball, but it was always in front of us. And that is the difference that Harris has instilled into this side. We're playing a deeper line and he has got them so well and drilled in shape. And it is at times watching a bit like a Rowett team in terms of defensive shape, because we always had a good defensive shape under Rowett, well, most of the time. But the ball's in front of us. And the players we have are comfortable with that majority of the time. And we're seeing this play out. You know, when we look at the last three goals we conceded, you know, obviously the two against Leeds and West Brom. The first goal against Leeds was a moment of individual quality. The second one was we were chasing the game, admittedly, to try and get back into it. I don't think that occurrence happens if that's not the case. And then obviously the penalty that we'll come on to talk about in a second. So, we, you know, in open play, without a moment of real quality, I think that we're looking very well set up by Harris at the moment. We then have another big chance in the game, which Fleming wins the ball back high up the pitch on the left-hand side. He cuts it back into Obafemi. Obafemi does well just to poke it to Watmore, and Watmore blazes over from, 10 yards out. I think Townsend froze himself in front of Watmore, but all Watmore had to do was just to, of course, it's bloody easy said than done, right? It's 57 minutes. He's probably tired at this point. We will definitely mention around the fact that maybe he should have come off earlier in a minute, but he could have let the ball run across him because Townsend had already slid in, or he could have cut back and just passed it into the net. But either way, he didn't. And that could have been, with that chance and the Obafemi chance in the first half, they are three clear-cut chances. And we didn't take them. And we get punished. So we get punished on 67 minutes. And it is a penalty. It is a penalty. By the way, arguably, we should have had one in the first half. I've seen it back from a few angles. It definitely hits his hand. And his hand is in an unnatural position. So I've seen them given. If it was given against us, I'd probably be frustrated. But I've definitely seen them given. But I felt the referee and the fourth officials were poor yesterday. The linesmen, the whole officiating group were poor yesterday. And I don't, for those of you that watch this regularly, I don't really often talk about officials, but I thought they were really poor. And arguably we could have had a penalty. Their penalty, for me, I think it was. I think Joe Bryan gets done a little bit. What happens there is Dean Garner down the right-hand side. He sort of goes one way and then cuts back, but he cuts back at such an angle and then it catches Bryan's leg as he tries to sort of make the tackle. Now, in fairness to Bryan, I don't think there's many players at championship level that have got the ability and the kind of agility and sense of gravity to, if you watch it, it's not a normal cutback. He cuts back at such an angle. I'm not defending Bryan because I think that's now, I think it's two penalties he's given away. He's been sent off. He has been very culpable for some poor decision-making.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
O'Brien, and he is a very, very frustrating player because at times he looks an absolute class above, and then at other times he looks like a liability. But he gives the penalty away, no complaints. He was on a booking anyway, so it probably would have been unwise of him to make complaints. And then it's a good penalty from Swift, bottom corner. I think Sarkic goes the right way, but, you know, nothing really the keeper could do. They then bring on more of their subs that I talked about. You know, their bench is just, at this level, is very, very good. They've got players like Jan and Villa, who they signed on a free transfer, who's on their bench, didn't even get on. Chalabar, you know, they've got very, very good resources at their disposal. And even to bring the likes of Semi Ajayi on as a substitute centre-back is highlights their strength in depth. Incidentally, Jed Wallace was one of the subs that went off. I felt he had a quiet game, Jed, other than that chance that he kind of fluffed. I always feel with Jed that Jed is a player that wears his heart on his sleeves. We saw that when he played for Millwall. He really cares. But I think at times he lets that get the better of him. Obviously, he did that last season when he celebrated, over the top. And I think he realised that. And it was a very muted affair for Jed. But I do feel as though it wasn't his best game. And I'm sure if I was a West Brom fan, I'd be saying the same. And I would have felt that the occasion got the better of him. In terms of the occasion, 17,500 fans. I thought the atmosphere was okay. I don't think it was great, considering I don't think they made much noise, other than I think they were singing Millwall got battered everywhere they go in the second half for a little bit, which was a bit embarrassing, to be honest with you. I don't think they made a lot of noise, considering how well they've been playing. I was quite disappointed. And if I'm honest, other than the odd monk chart, I don't really think our atmosphere was that great. And I don't really know why that is. Maybe it was because it was a tight game, but I enjoyed watching the team play. The last 20 odd minutes, yes, was a bit of a struggle. They made the subs, fresh legs. And they probably, for the last 20 minutes, they probably had 80, 85% possession, but we held on. And I think under different management, we wouldn't have done. I have to say, I felt the shape was fantastic. You could see even little things like when Brook came on, you could see Leonard and Saville in their faces. Like, come on, we'll see this through. And I thought we managed the game out, you know. At that point, when they equalised, I was like, look, I'll take a point all day long now. Because I didn't really see where the second goal would come from. You could see Obafemi was running out of legs. We had no other striker to come on. You could see Watmore was tiring. And I felt strange that Harris made the change for Honeyman to come off. Maybe there's something we don't know, by the way. Instead of Watmore. Watmore looked very leggy from 60 minutes on. And he usually does. It was an all-action display from Duncan Watmore. Don't get me wrong, but we know he's not able to sustain those levels for 60 minutes. And I was very worried with the pressure they were putting on, especially down the left-hand side with Joe Bryan being on a booking of not having someone that could track back. Eventually, we do make the substitutions. Obviously, Longman comes on first. Then we bring on Brook. There was actually a two-minute period in the game where Brook came on, but both Brook and Longman were on the left-hand side. Both were on the right-hand side. There was no one on the left-hand side, and we were very, very lucky to get away with that because I don't think West Brom noticed. It was obviously just a miscommunication, and finally, Longman goes out to the left-hand side. The Watmore sub's weird, I have to say. Even when Honeyman went off, Watmore held his hand up and sort of signalled to say, look, I need to come off. And he left him on for another 15, 20 minutes. So not sure on that. Obviously, you know, nothing happened. We didn't concede. He obviously felt that Watmore could cause them problems. And I understand that. But I think we also need to make sure that these players are fresh and ready to go for Rotherham, because that is a win-em-all game. And we'll make this point look like a very good point if we do manage to go there and get all three. So there is an element of that. But we are thin up top. There's no denying it. The game ends 1-1. I thought we were a better team. You know, we had three clear-cut chances. I don't remember a clear-cut chance they created other than the penalty. The official XG, we have 1.43 versus their 1.14, which 0.8 of which is a penalty. So you take the penalty away and we've had almost four times the XG that they did. So I know XG is like expected goals, people look at it and whatever, but ultimately it's a reflection of the big moments you create in the final third. And I felt we created a lot more than them. And I will take this style of football if we create chances. I think Harris's style does appear to have evolved and developed. And, you know, I might be slated for this. It's just my view on the game. But I did feel at times there were some really nice patterns of play. You know, with Saville, who can slow it down. Then you've got, you know, just in sort of control that game. Leonard plays a really good sort of long pass. Obviously, the two that he put through. But I thought, what more Fleming and Obafemi is the best I've seen a front three of ours link up for some time. I thought they all had very good games. I do genuinely think that Harris's style has developed. And look, I genuinely enjoyed watching my team play yesterday. I did. I genuinely enjoyed it. And that was watching a team that only had 30% of possession. But I don't mind it. It's exciting. You can see the passion. There is not a single player on that pitch that is not giving everything for the club, for Harris, for the club, for us. And if we see a team that goes out there and does that, we always know then we've got half a chance at home. Because when we see that, we bring the same. And we turn up in our numbers and say the atmosphere was okay, but we stayed with the team. And I just feel he's kept that defensive resiliency, but Harris has added a little bit more. And it might just be because he's got better players at his disposal this time. But I do feel his style has evolved. And look, we shall see what happens between now and end of the season. But personally, I think, especially with the way results went yesterday, obviously QPR winning, we could have done that being a draw, in honesty. Stoke winning away at Hull was a bit of a shock, to be honest. I think probably even their fans are a bit shocked. But with the way the results went yesterday, my opinion is if we can beat Rotherham and we avoid defeat against Huddersfield, that'll leave just 6 games to play. And I personally think that'll be enough. I'd rather have 2 wins, but I genuinely think if we get the points in that way, you know, beat Rotherham, which will relegate them, by the way. So if we beat Rotherham, there's our incentive. We'll relegate Rotherham. So there's definitely incentive there. And I think we avoid defeat against Huddersfield. Then I think that leaves Huddersfield 5 points adrift with just 6 games to go, which means they've got to win 2 more than we do. I just can't see it. I really can't. So that's what I would be aiming for. We still got, obviously, Plymouth to play at home. Leicester look a bit rocky. But it'd be very nice to go away at Swansea at the end of the season, having nothing to play on that. So let's see. My only concern, as I say, is can we go again, Rotherham, and will the lack of substitution and how late he took Duncan Watmore off come back to bite us on the backside. In terms of players then, so by the way, obviously no stats. To be honest, I've literally just unpacked. I'm absolutely shattered. So there's no stats, but I'll have a look at those in depth on Monday when I do the one on Monday. In terms of players, so Sarkic had nothing to do, so I'm not even going to comment on him. I felt the back four, the shape was good. Brian at times frustrates me. He can look a well bit at 1 minute and then a really sort of lethargic defender at other times. I thought Cooper and Tanganga looked pretty solid in there. Ryan Leonard, there's a few players that could be picked man of the match. Saville was obviously the official one, but Ryan Leonard for me was man of the match. And West Brom fans, it'd be interesting to see what you think, because you tried 3 different wingers up against him. Johnston for most of the game. Fellows had a little bit of go, and then Matty Phillips. And I can't recall anyone having a beating of him, particularly Johnston. Johnston has absolutely ruined the majority of defenders he's come up against recently. And it says a lot that Ryan Leonard, not only did he do that work defensively, but he created the 2 best opportunities we had in that first half, which was the ball for Watmore and the ball for Obafemi. So for me, Ryan Leonard, man of the match. Very worthy mentions, though, I think, for George Saville and George Honeymoon, who epitomised that kind of grit and desire. They were all over the place, all action displays from them. I thought Watmore was fantastic. Harris come out and said he thought he was the best player on the pitch. And in terms of attacking and creative force, I couldn't argue with that. I thought he was excellent. I do worry about his fitness levels, though. He's got two dodgy knees. I've been through one of the things he's had in his knee, so I get it. But I don't know if it really affects fitness. Is it the fact that he does so much in 60 minutes, he just can't sustain the 90? Is that it? I don't know. But I thought Watmore for that 60 minutes was outstanding. Everything that we created went through him. I thought Fleming had a decent game. He battled really hard today. I thought he was really putting himself about and putting a shift in. That was one thing I really did notice from Zian Fleming. That was clear to see for me. My old man got the train home, and there was a few West Brom fans on there, and they said they'd swap Zian Fleming for Jed Wallace in an instant. So there we go. And then Michael Obafemi, I just want to say that it's a shame, because I would love to see him and Tango in a Millwall shirt next season. It's not going to happen because we're not going to afford them. But what Obafemi gives you is it just gives you, when we play that style of playing a little bit more direct in behind the channels, someone who is quick enough and powerful enough to worry defences at the top end of this level. And I thought he was excellent yesterday. He's running. You can see he's getting fitter and fitter all the time. He definitely struggled for the last 5-10. There's no denying it. Just hope he's okay to go again. It would be missing that Rue chance, but I thought overall his game was pretty good, to be fair. And the subs, to be honest, all they did was come on and contribute to the defensive shape that we had. So no massive mentions there. But look, that's it, really. I think we walk away disappointed. I did feel really disappointed walking away, which is really odd, considering we've now got 3 points from 7 games that way around. 7 points from 3 games at the Den. And this was a side that couldn't pick up a point. You know, so to walk away from a side that are definitely going to be in the playoffs, in my opinion, and have a very good side at this level, to walk away feeling disappointed with a point and having limited them to literally just one chance, which was a penalty, says a lot, I think, how far we've come over last month. So there we go. Look, enjoy the Easter weekend. Hopefully we round the Easter weekend off with 3 points away at Rotherham. I'll be back on Monday to do one of these. Thank you all for listening. Really do appreciate it. Please do like, subscribe, share, follow, all that good stuff. I'll speak to you then. Thanks for listening again. Bye for now.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.